Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board for the City of Morro Bay. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2013, 6 p.m. Please let the record show that we do have quorum. All six current members of the board are here in attendance, and the meeting is hereby called to order. We'll start off with a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. I've asked former Mayor Kathy Novak to lead us in the pledge. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Good evening. Can you please join me in the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kathy. Good to see so many people out here in our gallery today. Welcome to the meeting. We're above our normal 0, 1, or 2, so it's good to see you guys. We will now move on to chair and advisory board member announcements and presentations, and I'll start over at the end here with Jean. Jean, any announcements? Lynn? Sir? Dana? Any announcements, Dana?
Yeah, the upcoming Harbor Festival next month, there'll be a youth sail-a-thon going on Sunday. It's a fundraiser for the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation. They're looking to purchase a new FJ, which is a high school collegiate type race boat. And so I'm announcing that. Should be something to see. And you'll be able to go to our booth, which will be out there on the tee pier, and talk to us about it and make a donation. Thank you.
That's right. The next time we meet will be after the Harbor Festival, so we're looking forward to another successful Harbor Festival. Announcements, Jim?
I have nothing to announce. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to announce that Morro Bay Landing now has live bait for sale. We have pens in the water and little fishies swimming around in them.
Right. Excellent. Good announcement. I would mention that since we do have some folks here, that I would imagine there's going to be some public comment with regard to item D1 on our agenda, which is the Measure D study session. We will take public comment right before that item. So we're following the same format that the council has directed us to follow, which is taking public comment before the specific item. So we'll move on now to a public comment period. This is for anything that is not on the agenda, and I'm going to make a recommendation. I'll let the cat out of the bag that we move that item up to the beginning of the meeting since so many of you are here. So I don't think you'll have to wait until later in the evening to make that comment. So public comment period is now open for any comments on things that are not on the agenda. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Dorr, and tonight's my anniversary, and we're going out, so I hope you'll forgive me for making my comments on Measure D now. I'd like to begin with, first of all, our favorite restaurant is Tagnazzini's, and we and our grandson love krills, so please treat them fairly in whatever decision you make. We fully support the original intent of Measure D. Please say no to suggestions 1 through 4 and instead take a strong position in support of our commercial fishing industry. Other needs of the harbor can be met in other areas. We had a sailboat for a long time, and we are sympathetic. I say we because my husband was going to be here. We are sympathetic to the boater needs in the harbor, in Morro Bay. But this is a special need the commercial fishing industry has, which is being met by Measure D. And it's important that we preserve those protections and continue this as a very special harbor. Someday soon, the power plant will have to change in some way. It is old, outdated, and does not currently meet once-through cooling laws. So please target this area for future needs or needs that must be met, but do it outside of the Measure D area. Measure D is good coastal planning for now and the future, so please protect it. Thank you for your time, and I would have loved to have been here all evening, but I have to leave. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Barbara, and happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, we will close the public comment. Oh, one more.
Hi, I'm Tom Hafer. I'm the president of the Morro Bay Fishing Organization. And do we need a representative on the Harbor Commission for this?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm donating myself, my time for this. But there will be some... there will be some times where I will be fishing, so I'm going to have to call in an alternate. I just wonder if that's okay.
That was something that we have in the works, so I would... I'm happy to receive you as putting in your submission and through the Harbor Department, and the council, of course, has to appoint you to the board. We will work with that. But as you know, you and I have spoken in the past. We've been wanting to fill that seat for some time. So,
yes.
So I'm happy that you've stepped forward, Tom. So that is now in the works officially.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Why don't you come up and say the difference
of All right. Anyone else for public comment? Seeing no one else, public comment is now closed. We'll move on to item A, the consent calendar. The first item, item A1, approval of minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held on August 1st, 2013. I trust you've all had a chance to review those minutes. Are there any changes or amendments to the minutes as presented? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I so move.
I move to approve by Jim. And seconded by Bill. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item B, the Harbor Department status report. It's a little lengthy and all important, though, of course, Eric. And then item C, the unfinished business. And down at the bottom of the agenda, item D, new business. As I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we do have quite a few people here in the gallery. So if anyone on the board would like to make a motion to move item D up to our current item.
I would so move item D up to the front here.
All
front
right.
B1.
Moved by Dana to move item D1 to the top of the agenda. Seconded by Bill. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Okay. So we will now move on to new business, item D1, which is Measure D study session to take public and Harbor Advisory Board input on placing an initiative on the general ballot in regard to amending the measure. We do have information in the staff report. And I think the way that we'll go on this is I'm going to first introduce our Harbor Director to give some background on this issue. We'll ask the director any questions that we have, and then we'll open up public comment. And then if there are any items that the director needs to follow up on, we can follow up with that after public comment, and then we'll deliberate up here. So, Eric.
Sure. Thank you, and good evening. As Chairman Eccles said, we're going a little less formally tonight, as opposed to a true public hearing where you get public comment up front and then deliberate and then go about your business. So we're a little more free form tonight, allowing for a little more conversation between folks out in the audience and the Harbor Advisory Board. I'm not going to try and run the timer. I don't know that I'd know how to run the timer. I'd probably break it. So I'm not too worried. I don't see 4,000 people on here, so it shouldn't be too big of a deal. So the background on this is an item that the existing City Council wanted to review Measure D and just have a kind of holistic look at it and see if there's any changes that need to be made in any way, shape, or form, be them to strengthen it, better define it. I don't think there's any pretense out there that there are any effort out there to rescind it or remove it or water it down. But it's just whether there's any public or Harbor Advisory Board or Council will to revise it in any way, shape, or form, or whether to leave it as it is. Back in June of 2008, the City Council heard this item as well and deliberated and actually did vote to put it on the ballot for that coming November election, but wished to get a little more staff input on what might be changed in Measure D, what sort of input that staff would suggest to change in Measure D. That information came back a month or two later. in front of the city council, and the city council heard it and then suspended their vote to put it on the ballot until more stakeholder input could be taken and a group could be put together and start reviewing what the different issues were. We find no record of any further action in terms of stakeholder meetings or anything formal going on, so that was pretty much the extent of the activity in 2008. A fair amount of staff reports have been attached to this staff report. Both of the staff reports from the city attorney from back in 2008 to the city council on Measure D, that's where those quote-unquote suggestions came from. Within my staff report, they're just basically regurgitating the background that was done before. And again, no stated direction we're trying to go here, just trying to pick up public input on is there ways to better make Measure D work from the commercial fishing standpoint, recreational and commercial fishing standpoints, from a staff and city standpoint, from the grandfathered businesses that are existing in Measure D, be those the restaurants and whatnot, or to better define some of the unclear terms, or at least what could be construed as ambiguous terms within Measure D to make it a little more clear when it comes to evaluating businesses and projects that come along within the Measure D area. So if that's enough background, I can stop there. If you want me to go further and give a little more on a few of the areas here, Mr. Chairman, or if you'd like you to do that, or how would you like to proceed?
Are there any questions from the board members for the director on the report that he just gave, or would you like him to elaborate on any particular portion? Jim?
I would just like to ask, probably in a different way, since 2008, there's been no movement on this Measure D issue coming from the city council, or no further reports, no further efforts to redefine terms or clarify terms?
Correct. June 2008 council meeting, June 23rd, the second council meeting in June, heard Measure D a second time where staff brought back some suggestions and possible language changes. Council considered those and then tabled it.
So there was no explanation of why it didn't go further?
Nothing that I can find in the minutes and whatnot.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members at this time?
So what brings this up now?
The sitting city council wished to re-agendize it on the city council agenda itself and bring it forward through the Harbor Advisory Board first.
Okay.
We'll review the Harbor Advisory Board first, and then we'll bring it to city council at a later date.
Lynn?
So, to your knowledge, there have not been any complaints about Measure D from the fishermen? Or have there been complaints that it is not working properly?
I think that's probably a too broad of a statement to make. There's certainly been public comment on Measure D from fishermen, from leaseholders, from the public, from staff, from existing and former council people about projects that have come through and approvals that have come through. You know, when the Verge's lease was renewed or repenned in 2006 or 2007, obviously that was an issue. Recent Harbor Hut project that went through and got Coastal Commission approval the last meeting, Measure D was reviewed. So it's been projects that have come through the Measure D area have been reviewed and looked at and vetted, but I don't think there's any specific action or activity that has brought this forward, if that's what you're asking.
The one activity is that I was reading the pamphlets here is that, i.e., the Maritime Museum, who has plans on being down there north of Beach Street, according to Measure D, it really doesn't comply. Is that a correct statement or incorrect statement?
Depends on how you interpret Measure D. If the Maritime Museum goes where it looks like it is being planned to go, it's across the street, which isn't in the Measure D area. Okay. That's not in the lease site area, so it doesn't really apply. But if there are movement afoot to try and put it on the water side, if some site opened up or got identified, then it would be an issue that would have to be vetted.
Okay. Thank you. Gene?
Eric, do you believe that the majority or most of the lease sites in the Measure D area now are in compliance with Measure D?
Well, you've got, obviously, GAFCO, Harbor Hut, Tognazzini's, and Krill's that are the grandfathered lease sites, the restaurants that were written in specifically in Measure D, maybe not by name, but written in as existing non-conforming. So those obviously, you know, don't conform to the letter of the law, but they're grandfathered in. The other lease sites we've got, you start at the south end, the non-restaurants. We get what used to be Verge's, now Morbay Landing. The first business that opened up under Bob Fowler's ownership there was Matt with the kayak and stand-up paddle shop. That we looked long and hard at approving that sublease. And the component that he had, the Hobie kayak fishing, staff believed that component made it Measure D compliant. Given that hopefully we get a sport fishing business back in there and get the tackle shop and get everything else back in there, we'll get back up to a largely more compliant lease site. But that little business all by itself kind of stands out and sticks out by itself. But once it gets, I think, folded into the rest of the lease site with everything else going on, shouldn't be any issues there. Fish dock, obviously, that's no question there. Tognazzini's dock side out on the dock, that was approved by council quite a few years ago. Obviously, being in Measure D and the commercial fishing component of the ownership and the fish rack and everything else in the menu, kept that and has kept that within Measure D compliance. And then, like I say, you got Krill's across the street, and then Tognazzini's 2 and 3, which are similar versions of Tognazzini's dockside. Yes?
Recommendation, what we're being asked to recommend anyway, is it more of whether or not this should be put on the next general election, or are we being asked to make suggestions as to how it might be, the current Measure D statement might be amended?
I think what we're looking at is there any, suggestions coming from the Harbor Advisory Board through the public, whether there's any suggested changes, additions, deletions, modifications to make it better, to make it different, to address the different issues that it does bring up, and bring that recommendation, if any, maybe status quo, but bring that forward to the City Council for City Council review, and we'll go through a similar hearing, I'm sure, with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Eric? Seeing none, we will now move on to the public comment period. We aren't going to use the timer, but I would respectfully request that you keep your remarks succinct as possible. And I would also ask, too, that I see some history in the room here, folks that have been in this town a long time, that in your public comments, if you so desire, if you could touch on what you believe the intent and spirit of Measure D was originally. I'd like to hear that from as many folks in the audience as well. So public comment is now open. You're welcome to step up to the microphone. Please state your name and city of residence for the record.
Good evening. I'm Sharon Moores, Virgil Moores' daughter. And Virgil was alive and well when this was written in 81. And actually, we started working on it probably in 79 with Joe Giannini. And I think what needs to be changed is the terminology that we used in those days is just different. If you look back to the 50s, they called it passenger for hire, and then it evolved into sport fishing and whatever it is now. But the way it's written in here, it means right now we're called commercial passenger fishing vessels. But where it's written in here, it says passenger for hire. It's actually called a couple of different things. So just clarifying what this meant, the intent, we were running 8 boats then, so it was certainly intended to be preserve sport fishing as well as commercial. And our boats now are licensed to fish both commercial and passenger for hire. But everybody worked together to make a working waterfront, and having the restaurants there was, the people loved to sit in the restaurants and watch the fishing boats come in or the fishermen go out, or, it all worked together as a fishing community. And so it needs to be just clarified what that meant, commercial and passenger carrying, and to preserve that. So, but anyway, that's what I would just say, is that the wording, if it's not clear to some people, but what it meant was both commercial and sport. So, okay.
Thank you, Sharon. I know someone else out there wants to come up.
I don't want to play my cards too quickly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Tom Roth, commercial fisherman for over 40 years. I was a young man in Slo County before we moved, and as a like the salmon, I moved back here to fish. And we're happy that we have Measure D. Measure D has allowed that waterfront a certain amount of stability. Many other ports on the East Coast have lost their viability because people with more money, perhaps, in development have eliminated some of the smaller operations. I listened to Sharon's comments, and I have no problem with passenger for hire or commercial, as whatever they want to call themselves. They're there, they're grandfathered in. That's part of Measure D. I see a little problem with kayak shops or having too many or some of the other types of waterfront businesses that could end up in the Measure D zone. I'd point out in 2007 we had diminished landings in Morro Bay. In 2012 we had outstanding landings in Morro Bay. The fishery is coming back. The last 3 years have been wonderful for the fleet. We're using these facilities more and more every year. The industry has invested money in the waterfront. The commercial fishermen actually spearheaded a drive for the new ice plant and some of the commercial hoists that have been installed. And I think that we need to protect that zone, because I see what's happened on the south end of the Embarcadero. There's a lot of t-shirt shops, boutique places to stay, and I'm sure people would like to do the same thing to the north end. So from a fisherman's standpoint, I would just like to point out that that area is really important to the fleet, and if the fleet's going to keep growing, we're going to utilize that area more and more. We already have semi-trucks blocking the road. There's fish coming out of here in the millions of pounds right now, and I see this in the future as a trend. This, what's going on now, will keep going on. Maybe not the same every year. Different fish come and go. Some years it's swordfish, and we have semi-trucks of swordfish leaving here. Some years it's squid, black cod, and I would ask that the Harbor Board go for status quo. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Nancy Bass, Morro Bay, 35 years. And when Mr. Giannini started this initiative, it was something that was really needed, because all the commercial fishing enterprises to the south were being gobbled up by visitor serving. And it was a very popular initiative. It passed by a wide margin. I agree with Ms. Moore. The wording needs to be clarified a bit, but leave it alone. It's worked great, and once it's gone, it won't come back again. And where will they go? Where will a fish buyer go? Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'm Mark Cognizini, and I was a voting age in 1981 when Measure D passed, and I voted. Joe Giannini was a personal friend of mine, as many of the fishermen in this port. He had foresight that none of us will ever have, about fishing communities and Morro Bay especially. I would have to agree with the majority of fishermen that I think we like a status quo. We would all agree that it's been massaged and manipulated at times, but I think that's benefited the citizens of this community, both in keeping fishing where it is and to the financial coffers. So I would suggest, and I would agree with Sharon, that I think it always was the intent to be commercial and sport fishing. I think that we've always considered sport boats as a commercial boat. Matter of fact, back in the day, many of us fished sport boats commercially in the off season. So I would say that we would, I would agree with most speakers here this evening. I think you keep it status quo and let the staff continue to do what they need to do to make it a viable measure. And thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Anyone else for public comment?
Good evening, Chair Eccles and board members. My name is Kathy Novak from Morro Bay. First, let me start by saying I'm not here to suggest that you do away with Measure D, because I agree with the speakers before me. I think it's very important to keep it. The language of Measure D is old and unfortunately is not clearly written, so I would like to suggest that you figure out a way to take the ambiguity out of it and give clear direction to everyone. To do this, I think that it would be important to make an assessment of each of the lease sites that you have down there. For example, the fish unloading dock, the ice machine, the commercial fishing docks, and et cetera, should remain for that use and all into perpetuity. On the other hand, lease sites such as the Harbor Hut and Toglazzini should be allowed some latitude so as long as it remains within the confines of their existing site. The city requires capital improvements for each of these lease sites in order to renew leases. However, they are extremely limited with the project proposals that may not be consistent with Measure D or could be consistent with Measure D depending upon the interpretation of the time. To that end, the business may be forced to bring forward a development project that may ultimately fail solely for the purpose of meeting the city's policies and to get a long-term lease by spending money. And this kind of concept doesn't benefit anybody in the community. Also, I'd like to say that by using creative thinking and common sense assessments and identifying the needs of all the users down there, you can update an old policy which will lead to the protection of the fishing industry, which is so important, but also keeping the existing businesses viable. My final thought that I want to pass along for you to consider is the Coastal Act. The Coastal Commission wants recreation and public access and requires new projects to provide public amenities such as boardwalks, benches, public seating areas, and at the same time they wanted to show a business that has truly a visitor-serving component, and also they want to limit the businesses within a very strict interpretation of Measure D. So it's difficult at best to get all of these into one project, and in some cases it can actually hinder the fishing operations. So if the city were to clean up the language a little bit, it would certainly help all the folks in the Measure D area, so it makes it clear for the projects coming in and also for the support of the commercial fishing industry and the sport fishing industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else for public comment?
Tom Roth, commercial fisherman. I neglected to say that in 2008, I took part in trying to reword Measure D. And we had emails between the city, a lot of different entities in this train. And essentially, there was a couple of people that had what they wanted in their minds and tried to work it into Measure D. And as it came out, that particular proposal was dropped by the city council eventually, because it was obvious that if you start working with something like that, then you have all these entities that now want to twist language to make it into their benefit. And so I would just warn that before we open up the can of worms, that we should be very careful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? Last chance. All right. We'll now close public comment on this item. And as a board, we'll now open discussion and deliberate on this. Who would like to start? Bill.
Thank you for your comments. And I concur. I think it should be left alone. One of the things that in any development, in any type of, it's all by zoning. And Measure D's, I think, the zoning in that particular area. And if we do change it or we start manipulating it, then we'll never be able to preserve the commercial fishing, and I think it needs to be done. And as the people says, and I've seen the semis down there, it is expanding, it is growing, and that's what we should be concentrating on as a community. That's my thoughts.
Thank you, Bill. Jim?
I would like to make a reference to a page in our packet. I'm looking at the 2008 report from the city attorney, and I'm looking on page 1 of 3. The city attorney quotes apparently the Measure D ordinance, and in that quotation, it describes where Measure D covers, and it goes on to say, for the purpose of serving or facilitating licensed commercial fishing activities and non-commercial recreational fishing activities. In the previous documents we had, there were four suggestions that I guess the previous council persons had made, and it's to generalize about those, it seemed like all four of them were making an effort to redefine what fit into commercial or non-commercial fishing activity. And that's why this particular sentence struck me as unusual, because if this is correctly reported, it says, for the purpose of serving or facilitating both commercial fishing and non-commercial recreational fishing. And the word facilitating, like all words, can conjure up different definitions in people's minds. But facilitating those would include a lot of things that are in some of those suggestions are specifically laid out, like the ice machine and so on. But facilitating can also include things that the Harbor Department Board here has talked about many times since I've been on the board, and that's a boat haul out, boat storage, and those facilities that serve us the both the recreational and the commercial fishermen, such as mechanics and supply stores and that sort of thing. So I don't have a particular question about that, but it was the first time I ran into that word facilitating in all of this document, and it seemed either if it's, I would like to know if it is part of the Measure D or is not part of the Measure D. I never ran across it before.
Yeah, I can help out on that. I printed out the minutes from 2008 and 2009, and that's consistent. So that is the language.
Yeah, well, then my question has to do with to me, in the way I think about things, the very fact that it says serving and facilitating clarifies a lot of what those other four suggestions were attempting to do in more specific terms.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Other comments? Gene?
Oh, I would agree with Jim. I think facilitating would include a boat haul out. I even would say it would say a maritime museum. I think that's all kind of supporting the commercial fishing industry. My feeling at this point was just some kind of clarification as to sport fishing is what we're looking at. That's it.
Dana?
Yeah, I would agree with Gene. I'm listening to the public comment. Most everybody didn't want to see it come up on a ballot, but they wanted to see it clarified. Maybe the city attorney can answer this. Can you modify the language without it being rewritten and having to be revoted on, or as a new Measure D, or how does that work?
We'll invite the city attorney up to the lectern.
I'll stand. I'd like to stand. Rob Schultz, city attorney, thank you for inviting me up to speak. Quickly, you know, I've been the city attorney for 16 years, so I've been dealing with Measure D, I think, from the very first day I came in. And it's I am proud of it, though, because the comments before about the foresight of the writers for it has protected this area. We've got a few other kind of crazy initiatives on our books about annexation and about land use changes that we were way ahead of anybody else on that scale. So I am proud of that Measure D. But it has been difficult in interpretations, because if you look at those first few sentences, that would be very clear if they had ended there, you know, to facilitate and its primary purpose. But then they came up with other language after that for the illustration part that can certainly contradict something that would facilitate commercial fishing. A perfect example is when you mentioned ones that are in conformance with Measure D and which ones we hear that out there in the public that possibly aren't. You heard the kayak and the fishing-related services that provides, but one of them would be Dockside 2, which is the fish market and the potential restaurant. Well, that restaurant commercial fishing market has primarily served the commercial fishing and has facilitated commercial fishing and done a tremendous service for revitalizing that area. But if you look at the issue right below that, where it says no new restaurant, how do you balance those two? And that's the staff, where staff's had a tough time with that. Same with, and planning did with the recent Harbor HUD. I mean, the Harbor HUD, if you go back to the intent of Measure D, intent was to protect the fishing, commercial fishing industry. And with the Harbor HUD, which wanted to add on just 600 square feet above to increase his storage and kitchen downstairs and move his office upstairs, from a staff standpoint, we looked, what was the intent of Measure D? To protect the commercial fishing. How would this 600 square feet being added on to his building upstairs any way, shape, or form have an effect on the commercial fishing? So for us, that was an easier one. But then I'll give you another example where I think tightening up could work. We have a sailboat 35 feet parked in a commercial fishing potential spot that could be used by a commercial fishing. That sailboat right now says they are a commercial fishing, that they put their poles out and they go sailing and they're a commercial fisherman. Their sailboat probably hasn't been out in a year and a half or 2 years, but it's a commercial fishing vessel. It fits within it. I'm not sure that was the intent, to have that type of sailboat in that area. So those are the type of issues that if you're going to look at, I think there's ways you could strengthen the definition and make it even stronger for the commercial fishing, but still allow certain things to happen in that area that I think could even further benefit the commercial fishing. So it's a tough one. If the board feels there shouldn't be any changes at all, we'll just live with it on a case-by-case basis, and sometimes that's difficult, but we make those decisions and live with them. As far as writing policies, yes, you can do that. You could make some policies to that, because one of the ones we've wrestled for over the years is this sports fishing. I've always heard that was considered a passenger for hire, so no new ones would be allowed. The way we've kind of allowed it is as you heard Sharon Moore says, there was 8, and we're not even close to 8 right now, so at least we've got a couple more. We could grandfather it in. But once we got to 8, we would probably say there's no more that are allowed under this definition, unless we change that policy definition to say passenger hire did not mean those type of sports fishing. I found nothing in the history of it to really establish whether when they were talking about passenger for hire, whether they were or weren't talking about the type of sports fishing boats that Burgess had. And I think, though, at one time, I think there was a concern that those type of vessels could push out your traditional commercial fishing vessels. But, that's just kind of speculation also. So, I don't think there's anybody that wants to, tear up Measure D, but we were just looking in a way that you could put some definitions in there to strengthen it for the commercial fishing, make certain that they have their spots, and at the same time also allow for some development, as Kathy Novak talked, in the Harbor HUD or the GAFCO that need improvements to the building, or the TOGS is going to sooner or later, although they did get approved for a new development. But no one's looking for T-shirt shops or more restaurants or anything of that nature to be down at that end, because I think it's done a really good job at preserving the commercial fishing.
Rob, before you leave, one issue that hasn't been brought up yet is I've noticed that there's at the former Verges, now the Landing, there is a passenger version of a water taxi, the pontoon boat that's going in and out of there with passengers on it, and that hasn't been brought up yet. So, could you comment on that, please?
My legal opinion, it's not allowed, and we have to talk to the leaseholder and figure out why it's happening and why. It's an interesting one because it's not parked there, so it's not taking the space of a commercial fishing vessel. So is it the intent, making certain, but it's from a zoning standpoint, it's got issues because it's not parked for that, which might be taken up by commercial fishermen or other issues. So, but from my standpoint, no, that's not a legal operation under Measure D because it's not related to commercial fishing in any way that I know of.
And to your knowledge, was a sublease agreement brought to you with regard to that?
No.
Prior to that operation?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And I think before you leave us.
Not that I'm aware of. We haven't seen, yeah.
Who is it that has the ultimate responsibility for deciding whether a business or an activity does or does not fall under Measure D?
I would say the harbor director does.
Harbor director.
And that decision can be appealed. You know, when we sit down and we study them and we look at it closely and make them provide information on how they fall under Measure D, and we debate it, but the ultimate decision is going to be from the harbor director.
So if the harbor director approves an activity in the Measure D area and no one complains about it, then that decision stands.
Correct.
Whether or not somebody else might think that it doesn't.
Correct. Or someone could always bring a legal action to say that it doesn't fall within the criteria of Measure D.
So I want to follow up on that. So the master lease, of course, is approved by the council, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then the sublease is approved by the department?
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for
in everyone. Most cases. I don't have all my leases in front of me. Some of our leases do provide for city council or require city council approval of subleases.
The old ones.
Yeah, I don't know if we've got any of those left. I think if GAFCO is an old enough one, I don't think so. But the old ones did require city council approval. And to add on, I mean, you know, yeah, the harbor department has the ultimate authority of approving subleases. There's also generally an element of planning, the planning department review when they go over business licenses and whatnot. And, you know, even though we may have it as an approved use in the lease, and we as a harbor department say, okay, you know, Joe's Crab Shack is an okay use in this spot, planning looks at it from a parking and zoning and other land use standpoint to make sure it fits all their criteria as well.
And wouldn't it be fair to say as well that in general, the master lease loosely defines what the purposes of the subleases are going to be, the intent of those subleases?
Yeah, the master lease stipulates what the approved uses are, right. Permitted uses are.
Permitted uses, yeah.
But all the leases say they have to comply with all land use regulations, including Measure D, so,
right.
You know, they still have to comply with that,
regardless
of what the lease says.
Gene?
Rob, as I, following up on Dana's question, I believe, any change in policy, does it have to go to the vote of the public, or the people?
No, you could, as long as it's what you couldn't change it completely around and do something. But is for example, one of the things to do is to define exactly what the passenger for hire and make that definition. They could do that and pass that as a policy. So you could pass definitions because there are no definitions in here. You know, and you could even add, you know, I've had other attorneys look at this and some have even told me because that next line begins was for purpose of illustration only. It means nothing from a legal standpoint because it was only for illustration purposes, and really your first sentence is all you should be implementing and going by. So for the illustration purposes, you could provide further definition without going to the vote of the people.
In your examples on like the sailboat, I mean, don't we have ways to calculate the commercial tonnage that is being done and whether or not a boat is a commercial fishing boat? And so that would actually, the facts right there would tell us whether or not that was actually commercial fishing or not.
and then we would have the right to have that sailing boat.
But it, but it also says, or non-commercial recreation fishing activities. So he can say he's a non-commercial fishing. So even as a non-commercial fishing recreational activities, in my mind, you should still be doing some type of fishing activities. I think in one of the later leases, we've done that and kind of put in there how many days that means you're out fishing. So we're trying to prevent that now that it's come up, to show that you've got to be out so many days of the year to at least prove that there is some fishing activity going on. That's only been the last couple of years we've seen that issue come up.
Jim?
It does sound like, from the comments some of the people were making, the non-commercial recreational fishing, as it's stated in Measure D, is one of the problematic statements. In my mind, I don't have trouble with it, because the boat can be has to be commercially licensed to take passengers, but the people fishing off the boat are non-commercial fishermen, and they're not allowed to sell the fish that they catch there. So it's not confusing to me, but maybe that's the crux of what needs to be somehow further clarified, is that statement about non-commercial recreational fishing.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions or comments while we have our city attorney with us? Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Appreciate the input. So we can continue on with this discussion a little bit more and then come up with any recommendations and hopefully some type of a motion of action or no action that we want to take at this point. Any questions for Eric?
I'm going to sound rather stupid about this, but is that one paragraph that I made reference to, is that the entirety of Measure D? Because there's a lot written about it. But
yeah, that is the entirety of Measure D.
Just that one paragraph?
Yeah, that starts on the one page and ends on the page behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the entirety of Measure D.
It's just one paragraph, the entire Measure D was it. And I'll give a suggestion of that. If you do not at this time, if the message is not to change the initiative, but to change, you know, maybe or define some of the terms within. Certainly, we could do that. And I don't know if Eric has mentioned it to the board, but we are going to be bringing forward to you this fall change to the harbor lease management policy, and that might be where we could work on some language that would define, just as you mentioned, between commercial and non-commercial and passenger for hire and what those terms would be. So that might be an opportunity time to do that as we look at some of the other changes we have made and are making to the lease management policy based on council's direction this past year since our workshop in March.
Thank you.
Further comments or discussion? Yes, Dana.
Eric, I have a question about approval of new passenger for hire boats or supporting facilities for that. There's a history. Sharon said there was up to 8 boats at one time. Is that something that is written down, and so if there are more, you can't exceed that, or how does that work?
I think just through staff and research through, you know, Verges and their history and everything else, it's been identified, and through planning as well, when they review all the documents and history and looking at business licenses and whatnot, has been identified that they're up to, and it might be more than 8. I don't know the exact number, but 8 Verges type sport fishing boats going on in the Measure D area when Measure D occurred, and therefore now we're down to, you know, essentially 1 or 2, 3 right now. Leaves the interpretation that, you know, you've got room for 5 more to go back and fill that void, because that's what was historically there. But yeah, it's, I don't think it's in any one document in any place, but it's just been through the research. That's what it's shown over the years.
And those 8 were all in Measure D area, or were they spread through? I remember.
I believe all. I mean, there was even more beyond Measure D. There was stuff down at Bob's. And
if you turn to page 2 of my the last memo on mine, and it's still maybe subject to a little bit of debate, maybe even Sharon would know, but at the time that Measure D was approved, there were 12 passenger for hire or party boat vessels, whatever the definition of those two might mean, and I actually list out what those 12 were. So there's even the names of the boats that were there at that time, and that was the research that Kathy Novak and Sharon did. And I'm not sure if there was any corrections to that or not, but I think that was pretty close.
Thank you.
So what I'd like to do at this point with the board is get some consensus and perhaps move toward a motion. Is there anyone on the board currently that thinks that Measure D should be brought, would make a recommendation to the council to bring Measure D back to the voters to be reconsidered? Gene?
Since the voters of Morro Bay voted for Measure D, I would think any changes even in definition should be back to them. It may not be the way the city attorney wants to do it, but I think the public has the right to all make a comment on it.
I understand your point on that. I think from the discussions that I've had and the thinking that I've done on this issue is that can get into a little bit of a cyclical argument, because then if the language is changed and brought back before the voters, in a sense, we're back to square one again in terms of how that is interpreted. So there's almost no end to that circle, but I appreciate the comment, Jen. So I don't see anyone on the board that is proposing that we issue a recommendation or has the feeling that we should issue a recommendation to the city to bring this back before the voters. Is that correct?
Said that's what he would do if there's any changes whatsoever.
All right, so perhaps one person.
I would not recommend tonight that we send Measure D back to voters. I mean, I'm certainly willing to look at some clarification and see what some of the problems in the current language might be, but one thing we haven't heard is from anybody who is in favor of not only redefining Measure D, but taking it back for another vote and going back to ground zero with it. So,
well, it seems to me that this is an issue of interpretation and enforcement. That the consensus that I've heard is that most everybody is in support of Measure D and almost unanimous support for, of course, our fishing industry and the role that they play here in our community and the historical significance that the fishing industry has within this town. So I'm going to throw out an idea for the board here, and we'll see where we can go with this. I'm thinking that obviously we don't need a motion not to do anything, so we don't need to move not to make a recommendation to the city council with regard to changing the language. But what I did hear are two things here, and we'll see if we can draw some consensus with this, is a real point of ambiguity seems to be with regard to the definition of sport fishing or passenger for hire. And it seems that there is a desire for some form of policy statement that would define that more clearly. And then on my own personal outlook on this issue is I think Measure D is fine as it stands. I appreciate some of the historical context that was provided by our speakers tonight. I don't see the need for any change for it. And again, I think it's an issue of interpretation and enforcement. So I would, and honestly, history, politics, time, this is a repeat. I did print off the minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meetings in October, August of 2008, and February of 2009. Some of you were here. Three of you were here. Four of you, I'm sorry, Lynn, were here. And this is a little bit of deja vu. So bureaucracy and politics being what it is, I know that this second statement that I'm going to bring about may have limited usefulness, granted, but I think as a board, I would like to see us take a position on this. So I'm going to make a motion right now, and we can kick this around. I move that the Harbor Advisory Board recommend to the City Council that a policy statement be developed with regard to defining passenger for hire and sport fishing as it pertains to Measure D, and urge the city toward conservative interpretation to favor the commercial fishing industry and strict enforcement of Measure D. So there's two parts to that motion. I need to get a second before I go forward. So there's a second. So I've moved, and there's been a second. Now we'll open for discussion. So there are two parts to that. The first is that the policy statement with regard to sport fishing and passenger for hire, and the city council, I would imagine, would direct the city attorney to do that, and then they'd come back to the council and deliberate that and come up with whatever they felt was appropriate. And then the second part of that is just, and this again, I realize it's a little bit of maybe futility, but I think it's important as a board we take a stand and stand up for our fishermen as well as the original intent and spirit of Measure D. So the second part, and I'll just reread it again, is urge the city toward conservative interpretation to favor commercial fishing industry and strict enforcement of Measure D. That's a little nebulous. It kind of leaves us where we are, but at least we heard status quo out there earlier. I think it speaks to that we want to continue to move in that direction of interpreting this as we go along to favor the commercial fishing industry, but also to respect the history and spirit of Measure D as well. So that's my two cents on it. I'll take further discussion on this motion, and eventually we'll get to a vote. We'll start down at this end with Jim.
Good. The first part of that motion, how would you say it differs from what the city council presented to us, for instance, in terms of the four suggestions that we were given an opportunity to choose amongst?
Well, looking at the four suggestions, there were more changes in each of those four suggestions. So this is just focusing on the one point. See, to me, the risk of rewriting part of this, again, as I mentioned with Gene, is it just puts us back in the same place 2 years ago. 2 and 3 years ago, we were discussing this here. And if we change the language, odds are 2 or 3 years from now, we'll be discussing that language. So I think it's been mentioned since 1981, this has served the test of time, or stood the test of time, and served the industry, and it is important that the spirit of it be maintained. So that's why I focused on just that one particular part. Other discussion? Dana?
Well, I think the way it stands now, the Measure D, and the way it's been enforced pretty well has taken care of it. I mean, I don't see any big problems or complaints. Personally, I liked suggestion number 4, where it gets even more liberal and it says marine-related activities, because I represent recreational boaters, not necessarily fishermen all the time. But I don't think that changing this is... I don't think that we need to change the measure.
Discussion on the motion that's on the floor?
I think that's okay. Basically, you're saying the same thing. We don't change it, and then we're just kind of urging for the type of enforcement. I think the enforcement's been good the way it is. I think they're doing a good job. But I don't know. I think more on it.
Okay. Further discussion with regard to the motion that is on the floor right now. Lynn.
Yeah, I was just thinking how your motion would affect the problems that have been already confronted in using the definition, such as Matt's kayak rental, stand-up paddling thing, and how that would make it easier to make that decision on part of the harbor director. And I'm not sure that it would. So taking that into consideration, I don't know that it would have great utility. I really like the second part. True, it's a bit nebulous, but I really like anything that will help support our local fishermen.
Thank you, Lynn. Gene?
I believe that the council is just going to send it back to us to make an interpretation of commercial fishing, sport fishing. But if they want to handle that by themselves, that's fine with me.
Bill? All right. Seeing no further discussion, I'll call for a vote. We'll reread the motion. Polly, do you have it well, or I can reread it if you like? Okay. The motion is to recommend to the City Council that the city issue a policy statement with regard to defining passenger for hire and sport fishing as it pertains to Measure D, and urge the city toward conservative interpretation to favor the commercial fishing industry and strict enforcement of Measure D. So we'll call the vote at this point. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes 5-1 passes. Thank you. That concludes the item for new business with regard to Measure D, and thank you all for showing up with regard to that. So we'll now go back to our regular agenda, which brings us to item B1, the Harbor Department status report. Eric.
Thank you. I'm going to take a quick drink of water while these folks head out of here and don't steal my thunder with their noise. Okay, I'll try to move through these fairly quickly. You're right, it was a bit lengthy. By the time I got to the end of it, I realized that there's a lot on there. This is always in no particular order, so I always like to add that caveat, or should add that caveat. I don't put the most important thing first and the least important last. It just kind of is a mental mind dump on there, and I put on whenever it comes and add it in. So fishing, although that is obviously an important thing to us. The last few weeks, as you've noticed, and I think we had a couple comments from the public earlier about all the commercial fishing activity of late. We've had both in front of Giovanni's Central Coast Seafood and Fuel and Ice there, and in front of Morro Bay Fish Company back behind Tognazzini's next to our office, had a little bit of a squid run. We've always had commercial market squid here, but we've not always had the landing facilities to get them to shore. It takes specialized equipment, and a couple of years ago, Brett Cunningham, who used to run the Morro Bay Land, our Morro Bay Fish Company, put in a squid pump, and last year Giovanni put in a squid pump. So takes the specialty equipment, it's there. The squid boats came through. You know, it's typically a south to north fishery. The boats follow the fish, starting down in the Channel Islands area, and worked their way north and found a good body of fish out here. And we had semi trucks coming out our ears for a while there, and creating quite the stir. I think 1 week, it lasted about 3 weeks. It's still going on, but mostly north of here. 1 week we had an estimated 1,000 tons between the two landings, which is 2 million pounds of squid, which is a lot of squid. So it was good to see that activity. It's just something we've never really had here in the past, and it one more thing that, as Tom Roth spoke of, you know, there's an upswing. Partly it's because I think things have bottomed out, and the fleet and the industry has rebounded and figured out how to exist in the new world, and some of it is regulatory changes that have happened and allowed things to grow and get better, and some of it's just guys being smarter and marketing and whatnot and creating more of a demand, and that's creating more people out there fishing. So it's all been good. Recreational and commercial salmon has kind of faded. It was never really great guns this year, fairly slow, a little steady, but not real great. Most of the salmon were north of here, which is pretty typical. And then commercial salmon boats did okay this year. They pretty much wound down their activity here. Most of the commercial guys that are still fishing salmon are fishing up out of San Francisco Bay Area, Fort Bragg, and north. Albacore season has started up. A number of our boats that typically go up to Oregon and Washington are gone. A few albacore have been caught commercial or recreationally off of Santa Cruz and Monterey. No big numbers, but it's looking like we might have a decent year here. And as Gene reported earlier, Morro Bay Landing now has live bait, which is going to be huge for the sport albacore guys, if and when those albacore do show up in our waters, which hopefully they do. New Harbor Patrol vessel is coming along. It's out of the dirty side of the yard and on the clean side of the yard, meaning it's the construction of the hull is done, and now they're bolting everything on and wiring and doing all the good stuff there. So still looking for an end of September completion for that. North T Pier, we're getting very close to completing our engineering and bid documents and scoping out what the amount of work we're going to be doing on that pier based on what needs to get done.
And then what we have extra money for, I think we've definitely got the funding to take care of all the critical stuff. We've got the funding to take care of the next level below the critical stuff, and I think we'll have a little bit of funding to take care of the stuff that would be nice to do while we're in there. So we're going to be getting that bid document out, hopefully later this month, out on the street for construction companies to start bidding on, and then, you know, 45, 60 days down the line, look at awarding that bid and getting that construction going this winter, which will be good. Recent events, as you may have seen on the news, I think it was in the paper and on some of the TV media, Project Surf Camp, which is a nonprofit organization that helps special needs kids, gets them out in the water, and not only teaches them surfing, but I think the real core thing is teach them a little self-independence and you know, just getting out on their own and self-efficiency and confidence and self-esteem. So it's been a great program. Our department helped out, as well as recreation and parks, police and fire. We all lended personnel to those folks as much as we could. National Estuary Program last week, or was it a week before, time flies, week of August 19th, they're out with other groups such as the Black Brant Group. They had gotten some grant funding, some federal grant funding, to do some eelgrass planting and replanting. Basically, they took a donor bed, which our best donor bed in the bay is in the Coleman Beach area. That's where the healthiest eelgrass beds are right now, and they'll take out certain percentages of the eelgrass, get them and prep them for replanting, which is what they were doing on the beach, and then bring them back into the back bay and plant them into bedded areas that have had eelgrass in the past but are struggling for water quality or invasive species or other issues, and try and get those reestablished. So that was a good project that occurred. On the lease front, I got quite a few items here. I'd like to try and keep you a little more up to date on that, so that when we do our annual lease review, maybe it'll be a little easier to get through. Our percentage of gross sales, which were due in July, have pretty much all come in. We still got a couple outstanding. We estimated in doing this year's budget, so the revenues that our leaseholders made last fiscal year, they tallied all up, and then anything over and above their base rent becomes due and payable in this fiscal year. We estimated in doing our budget for this year about a 1.7 to 2% increase in those revenues. We were very conservative with it. So far, there's a good number of those sites that came in a little bit above 1.7 to 2%. Some of them are reporting up to 50% increase in those revenues. So that's real good for the economy. That's real good for Morro Bay, and that's real good for our budget. So things are looking good in that regard. The request for proposals for those historically vacant lease sites were due August 15th. We received one proposal for one lease site. That was from Verges Fishing. Sharon Moores was here earlier for the proposal at lease site 107-108W, which is that water-only lease between the South Tee Pier and those fishing boat slips just to the south. So we'll be evaluating those in the near future and putting together a selection committee, which will consist of some Harbor Advisory Board review as well, and then move that on to the City Council. Morro Bay Aquarium lease site request for proposals went to City Council at August 13th meeting. They had several changes they wanted to make, which I've been working on this week, and hopefully we'll get that out on the street by mid-September. And that'll soak out in the public and see what kind of proposals we get on redeveloping that lease site. Morro Bay Landing, as Gene reported earlier, they've got bait. They're up and running. They've got the Black Pearl operating out of there. Bait receivers in the water. They've got bait. Working on a cooperative basis with the Billy Boy, which is now based out of Avila, catching and distributing bait, both the Patriot Sport Fishing down there and bringing it up here to us as well. So hopefully that keeps going and we get some fish with that. The Harbor Hut project is the city attorney spoke of earlier. It was a project that went through Planning Commission and City Council approval last year for adding an upstairs office and storage space. Was appealed to the Coastal Commission. Coastal Commission staff recommendation was for denial, but that denial was not, I won't say the denial was overturned, but the staff recommendation was not upheld, and they voted to approve that project. So hopefully that gets up and running here in the near future. And then September 12th, next week, we're conducting our annual safety and awareness meeting for our kayak and other rental boat folks like Marina Square with Dos Osos and the glass bottom boat and the kayak rental places, stand-up paddle renters, the electric boat rental folks. And we go over safety, local safety and awareness, environmental concerns. I know the Otter area, which is now, it seems to be getting renamed Target Rock, as historically what it's been called. It's now been called Otter Cove or something over in that area, with a little historic kelp belt has managed to stay established. We've now got quite a few otters, and everybody wants to go see them, and a lot of folks get a little too up close and personal. We've had some user conflicts in there, so we'll be going over things like that and trying to keep the waters safe and usable for everyone and make sure everyone's having a good time. Beach lifeguards ended their 7-day-a-week coverage after the Labor Day weekend, which was last weekend. So they're doing weekends only through Harbor Festival. We used to do a weekend or two after Labor Day until all the schools were back in session, but given just more and more activity and that, but more so at Harbor Fest time, with a couple good years of nice weather and a lot of beach usage, we tend as a Harbor Patrol and a Coast Guard to get pretty too blocked down in our slips in our office, and we couldn't get out in an emergency basis on a very quick basis down to the beach when we had incidents. So we've been putting beach guards on the beaches through the Harbor Festival weekend just so we've got public safety personnel down there. It's worked out pretty well. Junior lifeguard program has ended. We ran two sessions of junior guards, ran about 150 kids through two different sessions. Great program. Every year we've got way more kids than there are spaces. You know, it runs to the kids through not just lifeguarding, but good beach and water safety, and also good healthy dose of just good citizenship and good life lessons we try and impart on those kids. And Herb White's been doing a great job the last probably 5 years now, 4 or 5 years, running that program for recreation and parks. Hopefully if Herb's out there in TV land, he'll up for another year. We'll see. Emergency incidents, knock on wood. Been fairly quiet again. A lot of activity, but not a lot of bad activity, which is a good thing. We did have a rescue off of Cayucas. A local boater was up off 24th Street, which is Whale Rock area, Old Creek Beach. Sprung a leak in his boat. He had his daughter and two of her friends along. Pretty much got a panic call and pretty thick fog. They didn't know exactly where they were other than off Cayucas. So the Harbor Patrol and Coast Guard raced up, homed in on them with a radio direction finder, got to them, got the people off the boat, hooked up to the boat, Coast Guard hooked up to the boat. Fortunately, the leak was in the back end around the transom, so the best remedy for that is to tow it at a fairly high rate of speed, and the water just naturally kind of flows out the back. Got it back into the harbor. Our staff jumped back in and fixed the leak with a toilet bowl wax ring. So for all you boaters out there, go to the hardware store and buy a wax ring for your damage repair kit. They do wonders. They're sticky as heck, and they'll fill big holes in a hurry. So that's the tip of the week. And then boat sank in the State Park Marina last week. The Glowing Star, I guess, isn't glowing so much anymore. It's an old wooden Chris Craft, 42-foot Chris Craft boat. Apparently, its pumps weren't keeping up with its chronic leakage. The owner hired Depth Perceptions Diving Services to get it raised, which they did. I'm not sure what the final plan with the boat is. I've got my ideas where I think it ought to go, but everybody has a dream, and I guess the owner's still trying to figure out what to do with that boat, so we'll see where it goes here in the future. And then finally, the Offshore Geophysical Survey Permit Program, the OGPP, is a permit program by which the State Lands Commission issues permits for all sorts of different geophysical surveys. The most high level of one recently, or controversial one recently, was last year with the PG&E planning on doing the high energy seismic testing. That was permitted under this program, or at least trying to be permitted under this program. There's also lower energy permitting, or lower energy work that takes place that this program addresses, and State Lands Commission is updating their methodology by which they administer those permits. So having obvious concerns with those types of activities and how they may affect our commercial and recreational fishermen as well as other beach and ocean users, we sent in a comment letter into State Lands Commission outlining our concerns as a city with their proposed updates to the permit program. So that will be getting heard by the State Lands Commission in the near future. And with that, if there's any questions, comments?
No questions or comments for Eric?
I have one.
Yes, Jim.
For me.
Dana.
On September 12th, you're having the safety and awareness meeting for the local kayak rental boat tour business owners. Where is that going to be at?
When and where? I will look that up. I believe, I want to say 8:30 at... 8:30 at the power plant, the gatehouse meeting room, so the main entrance there, that little meeting room on the left-hand side, 8:30. Thanks for pointing that out. I think when I wrote this, we didn't have that nailed down yet.
Thank you.
Other questions for Eric? Jim?
I just want to commend you on the letter you wrote in regards to the mitigation from the sounding out there. Very well written. A nice job.
Good job.
Thank you. And as you know, I mean, the Harbor Advisory Board has expressed concerns in that high energy project in the future, and as a city council, so obviously we as city staff have been following that and keeping involved with it, and we will, and we'll give you updates as things change or go forward in the future.
Other questions or comments regarding the Harbor Director's report? No, seeing none. All right. Thank you for that report, Eric. Very good. We will now move on to item C, unfinished business. C1 is an update from the Boatyard Haulout Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities, and our committee chairperson is Dana. Dana tries to pass it over to Gene, and Gene passes it right back to Dana. That's why we pay you the big bucks, Dana.
Yeah. Is this on all the time? Good evening. All right. Well, I'm going to start with our last report. And we gave 3 sites for a boatyard and 3 sites for a storage yard. Since then, with more recent events, two of those sites are being used, or being one of them is right now being developed, and the other one is possibly going to be developed. It's a newer lease site south of the T Pier there. We looked at that one and we saw some good possibilities. Loss of parking, we figured a way to move parking and move the road, kind of nice pathway. But since we saw it being possibly developed, we stuck to the original plan that the Coastal Commission liked after RRM did their full design plan. And that's back up there at the north end of the intake building for the power plant. Before we go too much into that, the second part of this ad hoc committee is the boat storage yard. And there's, I think, some explanation, because the purpose of that has different uses. You know, most of it is for recreational boating, I would say. And across the street, we have a lot, or not across the street from here, but down the stairs and across the street from the waterfront there. There's a new lot, the lot that the power plant has and the city have negotiated, about 2.5 acres, and plenty of room for multi-uses there. Parking lot, boat yard, storage yard. There's a lot of space right there. So that is one of the key areas that we've looked at for storage. One of the things that I see there, storage in this area, really important is recreational sailboats, or sailboats that, bigger boats that you want to drop in the water. You don't want to have to tear down the rig. If you've ever seen anybody do this down at the boat launch area, it takes all day. They come in with a boat 24 feet or something like that, 28 feet, and they spend a good part of the day rigging the boat, and then they spend a good part of the day getting it in the water, because fixed keel boats. It takes quite a while. They have extended tongues, whatever, different ways of doing it. So they're not necessarily going to go out for a day sail and come right back in, or go out for a race and come right back and put their boat away. Well, if you go to a lot of places in California, different waterfront areas, this is quite common. In fact, many yacht clubs up and down the coast have their own hoists and their dry storage yards, and they do this all the time. Santa Barbara just did it yesterday. Probably had 25 boats out on a wet Wednesday, and half of them just come right across the street, right through the middle of a very, very busy waterfront, and they'd launch with a hoist. Somebody's standing there with controls, and they put the boat in the water, go sail for the afternoon, race, come back, put the boat away. Right here, the picture we have right here, this is Santa Cruz Harbor. This is actually the yacht club. This is Santa Cruz Yacht Club's yard down here. All of this area is where they store all of these sailboats. These boats right here are 30-footers. These are Olson 30s. They have right over here, that's a trailer, and they have painted on the ground a semicircle, and the hoist is right here. You bring your trailer anywhere on that line where the pick point of your boat is, and they put it in the water. You see all these boats, some of them have just been launched, some of them are coming back. So that's how this works. We call this dry sailing. All these boats are sitting on the hard, they're already rigged, ready to roll. This takes congestion out of the mooring fields by having a place to keep your boat dry, a lot less maintenance, usually a lot cheaper to store, but on the other hand, this is a bit of a moneymaker. If you have an empty lot, which, you know, this is what we would need, storage area, you have a card key or something to get in and out of here, and also to use the hoist, flash it in front of the hoist, and it starts operating. This is really typical. You go to yacht clubs all over the place where they have this. A lot of cities have these, different ports have these. Like I just said, Santa Barbara has the same thing, and everybody uses it. The fishermen use it to unload their catch. You'll see a small semi there loading up fish, and, you know, he's gone, and then there's a sailboat going, being pulled out of the water. So this is a real important part of what we discuss, is this storage yard. Representing the recreational boater, this is this could help the ocean fleets of sailors quite a bit, especially the racing ocean fleet. So this is just another picture of boats stored. This is at Cal Yacht Club in Marina Del Rey. That's a 2-ton hoist right there. They actually have two of them. There's another one on the other side. Okay, so what I was talking about is this is that 2.5-acre lot that the power plant and the City of Morro Bay had just negotiated and got that. Now, so if you were to leave this lot and come down here and, you know, if we had travel ways here with a hoist on that, or if there was a hoist in, you know, on the south tee pier, right now there is one. It's a small hoist, but it's in the right area. I mean, you could easily just move it down there and do the same thing. I just wanted to bring this all up because it's not just a boatyard that we're looking at, but we're looking at storage too, and how that helps out our community. So back to the boatyard and the haul out facility. Well, we've gone round and round with this, and, you know, RRM did a pretty good job, and they kind of set it up. So right here we have this superimposed. This is the ways for a travel lift. And as we take it across the street, and we superimposed all of this right here. This is actually a boatyard in here. There's the travel lift. And over here is all boat storage, and this is all boat storage. So even in this, what looks like relatively small area of the power plant, it actually would, I think, easily facilitate our needs. Okay. Yeah, skip that one. I just want to show a picture of what a travel lift looks like. Notice this one's at Triscoll's Yard in San Diego, one of our past fishing operators. So this is a smaller, this is probably a 35-ton travel lift. This is the same one doing a sailboat. I had another picture of a 70-ton. It's not a whole lot bigger, but it's wider, and it is much beefier. We have talked about closer to a 70-ton hoist all along so that we can take care of our fishing fleet. Those are the biggest, heaviest boats that we have here in the harbor, and some of the commercial boats, too, passenger boats. Oh, I did have it. There it is. It's that one's that catamaran's there not for the weight, but for the width. That's the beauty of that bigger hoist also. And this is kind of the acceptable practice that we have. When we have one boatyard that has space for one boat at a time. So, anyways, are there any questions? Gene.
I think we need to remember that a boat did sink in the Back Bay in State Park Marina last week. And if we'd had a travel lift, we'd be able to pick it up and get it out of there before we had any problems.
Yeah, I think we're lucky we didn't have a spill there. You know, it could have happened easily.
Yes,
Jim?
Dana, on that the previous slide where you said the that they had superimposed the storage area, was that storage area all within that 2.5 acres of lot south of the power plant?
Right here, this is actually the north end where Eric was just talking about this gatehouse building where they're going to have a little meeting. This is outside the power plant, and this is the intake building. So this is the north end, and then you have all this improved area here for recreation, and this was part of RRM's plan here. So this area, if you want to see the size of this in regards to that 2.5 acres, I can show you that too. There you go. This is the South Teep here. And that, we're not even showing that all the way. That property keeps going this way and then comes back. Let's see. I think it comes back right there. But we've somewhat filled it, but I think there's still a lot of space left. And this configuration is not necessarily what we would do, for sure.
The whatever might go on that side has nothing to do with Measure D, but the haul out, the ways would require being incorporated into Measure D. Is that right?
Yeah, the that would be facility for commercial. Non-commercial fishing, the fact that you could use it for other than that, I don't see that would be a problem, but, you know, I don't know. We don't intend that the boatyard should go here and that the travel lift should travel down the road. We see that traveling straight across over to the to this location, just being this quick little, you know, put up some barriers, stop traffic for half a minute, and roll across here. But that's where we see the haul out facility, where the actual boat yard, the storage, it could be there or it could be at the other spot. The nice thing is, you know, there's actually a lot of area right here, too. I think like a lot of things on this end of the waterfront, we're just waiting to see what happens with the power plant.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Lynn.
The property or the area that has been given to the city or the agreement, is there any other competition, any other ideas for the use of that land?
Well, I've heard, you know, that they throw out parking and the boatyard and the boat storage and the Maritime Museum. I don't know. And, you know, I work with the Maritime Museum quite a bit, so I kind of know what's going on there. The building they're talking about putting in is not that big. If it was to go in here, it could. I know they prefer this real visible area. Where their boats are. So, I don't know.
But any other entities in the city that are looking at it and saying, gee whiz, we could use it for something else? Parks and Rec, I don't know what else.
I think the city council is just starting to grapple with it. In the last city council meeting, they had an item on the agenda regarding parking and what it would take to improve that to make it an official parking lot. But they also recognize that there's other uses, including boatyard, Maritime Museum, and parking, that are all kind of competing for space there, and they're just starting to scope that out and figure out what they want to do with the future of that. We haven't, from my understanding, the ink hasn't dried on all the signature lines, and there's still a blank signature line or two. We're working through all the legal stuff with the county and everything to get the deed for that property, but eventually it should happen.
Thank you.
Gene.
Yeah, I might point out that both sites are zoned for marine haul-out area. They're both, you know, industrial-type areas. So either one of those sites will work for boat storage, boat yard area. And then what we're seeing here, the superimposed, that's just from the Santa Barbara boat yard, but it also includes their yacht club and their sailing area. So you're seeing much more than just a boat yard here.
Yeah, I can point this out real easy for you. This right here, this rectangle with all those boats nicely tucked in here, that's actually part of Santa Barbara Yacht Club, which would be right in here in their parking lot. Their yacht club's over here, right on the beach. So these are their stored boats. This is another entity. This is the Santa Barbara Sailing Club. These are all J-24s. They have a big fleet, very competitive group of sailors here. They don't really have a clubhouse. They have a container. They're just all about sailing. So that's what that is. This boatyard here, there's quite a number. A lot of these are bigger boats, too. The brokers use these. Some of these are boats that are just for sale, and they just keep them polished. Just another use. Any more questions?
One other thing occurred to me, and that's the area north of the power plant, but still adjacent to the power plant. I guess it's where some of the tanks are, or in front of the tanks, if I remember
right.
Yeah,
the tanks are up in here.
Would the Coastal Commission designate that, or is it designated as ESHA, that it would cause problems in converting it to another use?
Well, I can't imagine anything in the power plant property right there that they could really say that, just because of the use, the history of the use.
But just in front of it, it is
on the other side
of
the fence. Yeah, that was an original site for the boatyard, and that's what prompted us to move down the way.
So it should be an environmentally sensitive habitat.
Yes.
Or potentially environmentally sensitive habitat, since any land that can be reconditioned to accommodate some endangered species, they also like to sometimes consider.
Yeah, that's correct. If you were to travel, if you were to travel here and hit the dirt road and go out, that area was originally, I'm sure you know, you were here on the board for the boatyard, and then as I looked at this whole area down in here, there's a lot of space, but it's kind of up in the air until we know what's going on with the power plant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, anyways, to recap, this is after meeting and discussing and going over this, this is kind of our best case scenario. It's just, you know, how much the city wants to get involved and start researching this, start getting things in order. Obviously, this proceeding with this, you know, can you do that without knowing for sure if you have this? Well, I think you can, because I think it's going to take a while. And I think the grant process and everything, if you're going to Department of Boating Waterways or whoever else you might be looking at, I think it could take a while. So,
and Dana, we own that property. That's the city property.
And so is this right here. And, you know, if you had an emergency, you could put a boat right here, you know, rather than an oil spill in the bay. So I think we just would like to see some movement forward somehow in that direction.
Jim?
Oh, Jim, yes.
What do you see is left to do for the ad hoc committee beyond waiting for somebody else to do something?
I think to review any progress that comes to our attention, whether we see some possibilities with the power plant, you know, or the city's talking to us about different scenarios. I think that's our next move, is just to assess that and go from there.
I want to thank you for the work you've done up to this point. I think it's been good work.
Thank you.
I would echo that as well, Dana and Gene. Good work, because the vision is important. You've provided that vision for us, and now as we move forward with the power plant deliberations, as the city does, we'll have that vision ready for us. So thank you for that report, Dana.
Can I add something,
of
if
course.
I may?
Of course.
Just a comment, Dana.
Yes.
I don't want to put a stick in your spokes, but I don't think you should assume that site between the South T Pier and the slips is necessarily now completely off limits. We don't know what. I have an idea of what the proposal is and what it looks like on paper, but at this point, it's still a concept, still needs City Council approval. Councilman Smuckler, at the meeting or two ago, mentioned that he still wanted the potential boatyard haul out to be potentially in the mix down there. So it's still under consideration, and it may be that both things can fit there. No one's really mapped it out in terms of what Verges has proposed. So, you know, maybe you can possibly fit both in there. So I wouldn't just completely throw that idea out yet. I don't want to, you know, burst Sharon's bubble either, but
yeah.
It's nothing set down there yet. So I think it should still stay on the list.
Okay. Well, then let's just review that. Can you go back to that? No. Okay. Keep that right there. Perfect. Okay, well, I'll just kind of go over this real quick here. I didn't have this all blown up and shown what we had come across, but we were looking at a diagonal travel lift like we superimposed on the other one right here. So that would be part of that lease site, and this lease site that we were talking about is right in here that has never been developed. So the reason we are going a little bit diagonal is because that would be a better pathway to get in and out. If we went straight out from the shore, it was a little tight with current, and we just thought that way you have better access here too. So if we did something like that, these parking spots, which are directly behind it at the same angle, basically, we would take those and put them over here. And we would close that off and open it up here. And that way you could go whoop, right in there.
And Dana, for clarity of the viewers at home, that's the South T Pier, correct?
Correct. This is the South T Pier right here. Here's right. GAFCO and Beach Street's over here. And this is the big lot that we've been talking about. So that is a real possibility. We looked at that, and we were kind of led towards the other one a little bit, but you could easily have everything right there in that lot and still have excess room for whatever else, Maritime Museum or extra parking. You could definitely have extra parking in there. I don't think we need a facility quite that big at all. So, and not to say that there couldn't be another configuration besides that diagonal one. There is a big electrical
here in Morro Bay. Are you pretty certain that a 70-ton lift would take care of our needs?
I think a 70-ton would take care of pretty much most of our needs. Yeah, there are some boats that come through here and fish here once in a while, but I think the boats that are here for home port, I don't know that we'd need 100-ton.
Maybe I can ask Eric, the one that sunk out here, would it have taken care of that one?
The one in the State Park Marina?
Oh, easily.
No,
yeah.
A couple few years ago.
Oh, Susan Diane. We have a Susan Diane and a Diane Susan, or I had a Susan Diane. It was a Susan Diane. It was a 72-foot wooden Gulf Shrimper. I'd be taking a guess. It was probably somewhere in between 70 and 100. I don't think it was over 100. 72-foot boat wasn't giant, but 100 tons is a big boat.
Big boat, yeah. Would do you think a 100-ton lift would fit in that area in South Deep here?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
So there's quite a bit of room there, really. I mean, for what you're looking at for travel, for a travel lift. If we start looking at it closer and closer, yeah. I think we can make a design that would work.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments on this agenda item? All right, thank you again, Dana. I appreciate it. And Polly, would you please let the record reflect that board member Bill Luffy took a point of personal privilege and left the meeting during that presentation? That completes item C1 under unfinished business, our report from our ad hoc committee. Excellent. And we are now on to item E, declaration of future agenda items. What do we have for the future, gentlemen and lady? Anything? We're getting up to speed now. We've gotten a lot done in these last few meetings. Anything at this end, Jim? I think we're looking good up here, Eric. Anything that you have on your agenda for future agenda items?
You know, as a matter of fact, I might have a couple of ideas. Definitely like to bring back the multiple boat owner slip issue. Work on some language for that and get that in front of you. Also, as you heard earlier from the CFO President, Tom Hafer, he's jumped under the bus and volunteered himself for the HAB seat, but it's a little concerned about the meeting requirement, being able to miss meetings and not being able, if he's going to be here for everything, just the nature of his business. Fortunately, Brad Cunningham, our last person on the seat, was mainly on the shore and had left because he wanted to start fishing some more. So certainly we've spoken about the consensus of, entertaining the idea of a multiple-person seat or an alternate idea. The city council certainly hasn't precluded it. So I think we'd like to get that on the agenda and look at some it'd be a change of the bylaws. We've looked at the bylaws, and the bylaws aren't ambiguous enough to be able to allow that interpretation, but I think it's a fairly simple bylaws change, so we'll try to bring that back to you in October, and then we'll bring it to City Council.
That'd be an action item?
Yeah. I think, Polly, what else is on your list? What do you have for the minutes? Measure D, Boatyard, Mobay's Clean Marina Certification, that was just an informational item, and presentation by commercial fishermen on types of fishing, that was more of an informational item. Those would be fairly simple, so we can just leave them in the hopper if they'll fit, depending on how the other ones pan out.
Okay.
All right. That looks good.
How about a quick report on the eelgrass study when they just done their planting? I'm just curious, are we a fourth the amount of eelgrass we used to have, or whereabouts are we at? Just a status.
We get NEP to come in and if you'd like to.
Or a status report information.
Anything else with regard to future agenda items? Dana?
I was thinking maybe we could go for a boat ride on the new boat.
Night patrol? I'm gonna ride a new truck.
I like that idea. I think we need it on the agenda, but I like the idea. Jim, anything down at your end?
No, I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing Lynn, are we okay? Good. All right. Seeing no further items in for declaration of future agenda items, we will now move on to the final item on today's agenda, which is item F.
Can I bring up one more thing?
Yes.
Not future agenda. Sorry.
Sneak it in there before the adjournment.
Kick it back. An email is a PDF.
I think it's a great idea because it saves staff time, saves postage, saves resources.
And I had the hardest time opening this damn envelope.
Especially with these new expensive secure envelopes, I agree. Any other future agenda items? All right, we'll close that and move on to item F, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I second.
By Lynn, seconded. All in favor say aye. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a great meeting, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.